We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I'm the reason why rap became great in the Western Mass suburbs.
Love the show. Hate Mark James, but you're an awesome radio host.
This is WEEI.
And I think one
exactly.
The next star here at WEEI, that of course is Mark with a C, James.
And you can't spell Marconi without the letters M-A-R-C.
And Andy Hart.
In general, it's a good rule. If you're going to be a jackass, be right.
Be right.
Hart, outside of you, is so vanilla.
Ow.
But when you guys are together, it really is good.
It is so good, dude.
Can I ask you a very stupid, simple question?
Well, I expect that coming from you.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Yep. You know what the good thing is when I come to this show? I'm the third biggest a-hole.
Yes, sir.
It's Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
That's just the sad reality. Not everybody's perfect like us.
Mac and Hart. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
There's nothing wrong with being suspicious of Brady's ultimate success. There is something wrong with doubting him, where you're so quick to elevate Belichick as if Belichick had everything to do with the success of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady didn't facilitate it in to the degree that people are willing to give him credit for. And I think that's really where Tom Brady has got himself up in the tizzy, privately at least, to some degree. He's thinking about what he's done for Coach Bill Belichick. He knows what Bill Belichick has done for him, but he's also thinking about what he's done as well. And everybody's acting like you could just punch in somebody, Stidham or so, whoever it is, and they're going to do what Tom Brady has done. That is insulting and disrespectful.
All right, that's Stephen A. Smith. He makes $8 to $10 million a year. Interesting talk, because the one thing that last week, that when Brady decided to take his talents to Clearwater Beach and St. Pete Beach and go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, everyone, you know, obviously going to look at, okay, well, what will this do for his legacy? I haven't heard many people say that, ask the same question about Bill Belichick. We are Mark and Hart. Andy Hart, he is the third biggest a-hole in the room next to me and our producer, Eamon. I'm Mark with the C. James. But it's interesting. Why? Because here's my thing. Like, I expect the Patriots, with the toughest schedule in the NFL, with the unknown equation at quarterback, whether it's Stidham or Hoyer or Jordan Love, who's projected to still be on the board at 23 when the Patriots are drafting, it's the great unknown. I expect the Patriots to have a losing record and miss the playoffs this year. My question is this: what happens the following season if Bill is, even with all that salary cap room that could be over $100 million underneath the cap going to next year's free agency, if Bill is unable to turn over the roster and turn this thing around, what does that say about Bill's legacy?
Overrated.
Exactly. No, it does, though.
To some degree.
No, he's still the greatest coach of all
right.
time. Like nothing will ever take that away, but there will be the caveat. It will be, Bill is the GOAT, yeah, comma, but. You know, it, like, there will be the comma, but on that. Look what he didn't do after Tom Brady left.
And, you know, Cleveland. People like to throw Cleveland out there.
Cleveland, too.
And the first year in New England, where he's transitioning the roster. There were a lot of issues money-wise and everything with that 5-11 team. And it's accurate. And suddenly it'll become, well, Joe Gibbs, he won the Super Bowl with different quarterbacks. He had to do it a lot of different ways. Belichick just kind of rode Brady for two decades.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of those conversations.
Yep.
And I think there should be. That's what sports are all about. When the information changes, don't you reassess? Yeah, like, why would you just say, nope, Belichick's the greatest ever. I saw what he did with Brady. Yeah, but what did he do without Brady? Just like, what did Brady do without him? We know it's almost a certainty they were at their best together. The reason the Patriots were so good is they were together. You took greatness and greatness, combined them. It's like what I just ate. Jelly's good, right? Peanut butter's good. You put them together, peanut butter and jelly.
Amazing.
Really good, right?
Yes.
If I had just had a piece of bread with jelly on it, is it good? Not as good. If I just have peanut butter, not as good. Slap those two pieces of bread, rub them together, squeeze it up, and enjoy. That's Belichick and Brady. It's very simple. Now, I tend to believe the Patriots, like you, you put your overrated hair on the line, that they're going to have a down year, right?
Yeah.
There's good reason to believe that, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Part of that is the roster, and you look at what they were done. All the excuses we made for Brady last year, well, you will have some of those same issues still at play, potentially. Have they added to the offense?
Not really, no.
Damir Bird? You buy a jersey, Damir Bird?
Danny Vitale?
Like, what are we doing here? Like, so the excuses that Brady had are going to be the excuses that Stidham has to why he stinks, right?
Yeah.
I hope people give him those excuses.
Sure.
Not only is he a first-time starter, but he still has questionable talent around him at this point. Now, maybe they go all in. Maybe they make trades. You're getting very excited. Mark's very excited.
Oh, look what's on the
Jordan
board.
Jordan Love to the Patriots in a Mel Kiper's mock draft 3.0.
I told you Jordan Love is on the board for the New England Patriots at 23. And then all of a sudden,
know what he's riding?
He's riding,
there is a style to his game, a look to his game of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's riding that.
Yes.
He is riding that, and I don't think he's got it like Mahomes does.
But you know what? Here's the thing. When Mahomes came out 3 years ago,
I didn't like him either.
Neither did I.
Nope.
I watched
Gotta
him.
Gotta be honest.
I watched him go up and down the field with his former coach, who's the current coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, and they went up and down the field with Oklahoma. I mean, it was like a track meet. It was like, I don't even remember, 68-63. But I didn't see a guy who was going to be a future MVP that was going to be it. So if Belichick in less than 3 weeks is on the board with the 23rd pick in the draft and takes Jordan Love, can I tell you something right now? I am a pig in you know what. I think that's awesome.
You can just say it. You said it last week. So
a pig in ish. I am loving life. I am, it is just.
You got a nickname ready?
No, I mean, just I would love to see because then
I love the pick.
No, because then you get to see a quarterback battle. So it's going to be Love or Stidham. Who's it going to be? You know, that's.
Well, it's going to be Love eventually. You don't take a guy in the first round and then he now has the inside track, right? Just like Stidham has the inside track over Hoyer.
All right, what Bledsoe was the number one overall pick and Brady was sixth round. And what happened there?
How many years later?
No, I know.
You don't draft a guy in the first round and
then he loses
the job and he just suddenly stays the backup for 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, Bledsoe was there for 8 years.
Bledsoe had been there, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That was just the reality.
Yeah.
And guess what? If Stidham gets knocked out of a game and can't practice or play for 2 months and Love comes in and plays well, Stidham will lose his job. Bledsoe wasn't being replaced, right? So there's that whole injury issue there.
No.
But if you draft Love in the first round, you expect him to be your starter, whether that's week one in 2020, week eight 2020, week one in 2021, he's your starter, right? That's the plan, the reality. We had a call earlier. What's the plan? I'm not sure they have a plan. My buddy on the Off Day podcast, Ryan Hannibal, feels for certain they didn't have a plan. He is all in, they had no plan. The way this played out, there was absolutely no plan.
I think the same thing. I think he's right. I think that
they're... So what is Belichick doing if there's no plan? He's just asleep at the wheel?
No, my thing is that...
Barbados Bill?
They thought that Tom Brady, there was no chance in hell he was going to leave.
Like this guy.
But
thought he was a sucker, that he was going to come back like a wuss.
And by the way, I absolutely, like you admitted, like you thought he would stay, but your reasoning was not illogical. You thought he was going to do what he has done for 20 years, which is him.
Right.
He was going to fold as the now late great Kenny Rogers would say, no one to hold him, no one to fold him, no one to walk away, no one to run. Brady never knew. Brady on the field was this, to use a Triple H term, cerebral assassin.
Mm-hmm.
He was that on the field. When it comes to contract and negotiating, he sort of just, hey, Tom, we're going to need you. It's like the guy in Office Space. Yeah. I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday and do these TPS reports, and we're going to need you. And Tom, like a good little boy, did exactly what was best for the team every single time, except in 2020 when he said, I've done this for 20 years. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to go on and I'm going to get what I'm at least deserve at this juncture in my career, which is the Drew Brees contract, nothing more. And that's what he got. Kudos to Tom. My question is this. I want to ask this everybody out there, too. Does this change your perception if Bill fails, not after the, like this season, even though I predict it to be a failure, I'm going to give Bill a mulligan. I'm going to give him a mulligan that this is the season of transition. This is the bridge year. This is the year of that curse word that is should never be said in New England, at least not in the last 20 years, rebuild. You don't want, but you are in rebuild mode. Now, they can sort of coin it, and I saw some Mike Reese wrote early this week, oh, the Patriots aren't in rebuild mode. They're in reboot mode. That's semantics. You could say whatever you want. It's a rebuild. Yeah. It's a rebuild. You could say reset, reboot, whatever. It's rebuild, and you know it when I know. Or rebuild. Get it?
Oh, I see what you did
like
there.
That, right? So that this is all on Bill. He wanted Brady gone, and he got his wish. But be careful what you wish for, because now that Brady's gone, now you are put back now where you are that coach. Really, I won't say you're coming into after the 2000 season where you're 5-11, but you're sort of going into the 2000 season where, hey, man, you've got to prove that last year. I give Bill the one thing about Bill, his 5 years he spent in Cleveland, nobody remember. Like, you do remember because there was an NFL documentary about it, the 95 Browns. But I give him a pass on the 95 season because word got out that Art Modell is moving the damn team to Baltimore.
Right.
So, like, Bill was in a no-win situation. Guys were, you know, like, you just didn't, like, I mean, they, you know, but, like, there was no, they were coming off a playoff win over Parcells and the mm-hmm. Patriots in the first round. You know, so my thing is this. Why does no one talk about Bill's legacy the way they talk about Tom's legacy?
When in reality, Bill's the only one with anything to lose. I don't believe Tom Brady has anything to lose here. In his 21st season, at the age of 43, going to a new team with a new scheme and Bruce Arians, and all the excuses are built in for Tom Brady. I mean, he couldn't do it forever, right? I mean, what are the chances he does it forever? He got old. What's Bill's excuses? I mean, yes, he's getting older, but he's a coach. He doesn't have to go out there and play. His head should still be fine. I mean, we have guys that run for president and run this country that are 1-2 decades older than him, right? So
sure.
His most important weapon should still be working. So Tom has the built-in excuse. Tom can only enhance his legacy. If he takes Tampa to the playoffs, check. If he wins a playoff game, check. God forbid he goes to an NFC title game or a Super Bowl, check.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
So he can only enhance it. If they go 8-8, well, it's Tampa. That's what Tampa does. It was too much. Even he couldn't overcome Tampa. Whatever. Bill is expected to reboot this thing quickly. Mm-hmm. Which reboot? What do you think of when you reboot a computer?
You start over?
Yeah, you completely start over. So right. It's a rebuild.
Right.
You completely shut it off. The whole system has to shut down. You pull the plug and you start over.
Well, I wish you could see, but your reaction when I mentioned the article that I got texted about Mike Reese, and we love Mike Reese, but
I love he's my favorite guy in the media.
And it said reboot, and you were like, what? Like, it's a rebuild.
Why do we have to parse words or whatever? Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a rebuild. Like,
right.
You right now, like, there's a chance, folks, I want, and I know a lot of people here, this is going to be uncharted territory, but, like, we talked about the schedule ad nauseum. You are hosting, okay, Baltimore. You are hosting the 49ers and Jimmy G. The Raiders come to town. Denver. So, Drew Lock, you know, okay, but then you go on the road. You go to Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champs. You go to Houston. You go to both L.A. teams, the Rams and the Chargers. You go to Seattle. That's like, and I'm not even, forget about the division. That schedule, I look at those games right then and there. I see 7 losses right there. And you might lose a couple in the division now. Buffalo's the best team in the AFC East right now.
Right now, they're the favorite. There's no doubt. They should be. They've earned it. And now Josh Allen might fall on his face. And right. I may think of things differently 4 weeks into
but
the new season.
But they got Stephon Diggs. They gave
oh, they have
to get
the
them.
Talent.
No, they got everything.
They have sort of a continuity. Like, they have a program that mm-hmm. they've built under Sean McDermott. We'll see where it goes and where that effort leads them. What is this? It seems like a lot of people are banking on not so much the Matt Castle year for Belichick because, oh, that was an undefeated team. It was a great team around him, Castle. But it seems like people are banking on the Brady suspension. Well, A, to prove Belichick's worth. Oh, he had two different quarterbacks. He won games. He went 3-1. Oh, blah, blah. Well, he had a second-round pick who he thought was a franchise quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if he thinks Jarrett Stidham's a franchise quarterback. He certainly wasn't a second-round pick. So just by the nature of the draft, Jimmy Garoppolo is supposed to be better than Jarrett Stidham. And Jimmy Garoppolo has gone on to prove that he, at worst, can take a team to a Super Bowl. Right?
Yep.
And
it was within 10 minutes of winning it.
Who did they beat in those games?
The Niners.
Who did the Patriots beat in those four games? So they opened
the Arizona Cardinals, the Dolphins.
Are those what you would consider like
no
great wins?
No, but here was the thing about the Arizona game, which was the most going into that. They were sort of a preseason, like, because they had made a run with Carson Palmer, if I'm not mistaken, the year before, and they were like a 9-point favorite that night.
Right, they're at home. Right, I think it was a Sunday night game.
Chandler
right?
Jones,
prime time game.
Yeah,
and everything.
Chandler Jones first game as a Cardinal.
But my point is, that's not the same as going to Kansas City,
no.
or Seattle,
no.
And it's not the same as going there with Jarrett Stidham, a fourth round pick, 1 year into the league, as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo, your second round pick, who you said almost from day one, this guy's a starting NFL quarterback somewhere, somehow, some way. So the test is much more difficult, and you have less preparation time in theory for what you're going to face this year, right? Like it's either Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Like, you are what you are right now.
Yeah.
And yeah. People could be in for a rude awakening.
Well, here's my question.
Including Belichick himself.
Hey.
For all I know, he's overconfident right now. He should be confident. He's Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Robert Kraft just told him he runs the team, basically, in not so many words. So he's at the head of the class. But again, now the spotlight's on you. There's no excuses. There's no Brady. You're not going to wow anybody, right? Is it a wow if they win this year? No, it's not a wow. You're supposed to win. You're Bill Belichick.
What will happen if this team gets off to a 1-6 start? Let me
what
ask.
What should happen?
No. What I'm asking is that the fan base, will the fan base then start to eventually where the worst thing that you, like in any business, animosity subsides into apathy.
Right.
And when apathy, you don't want.
Won't have that this year.
Okay.
You will not. This year, I still think, is a free year. But
it's a mulligan. So you're with me. Like, I'm giving Bill before the season, like, it's a mulligan. I expect them to have a losing season.
Right. And I think that's fair. I really do. But you also have the issue of, I know you're not super active on Twitter, but I can't tell you how many people I've noticed respond to me on Twitter, Patriot, that now have, you know, the logo with Brady's face on the Bucks logo. That
yes.
The eye. People have that as their avatar.
Oh, that's my avatar.
Yeah.
That's my avatar, Bucko Bruce.
Why are all these Patriots fans making Bucko Bruce their avatar?
Yeah.
Or Tampa Bay colors? Well, or these, you know, people are, lines have been drawn, people have been chosen, and I feel like more have chosen Brady over Belichick.
Well, here's my question, too, and I'm glad you brought that up, is because are you Tom or team? Team being the Patriots. Are you Tom over team? And I think a lot of people today are Tom over team.
Yep.
I think people are like, my loyalty's with Brady. He's did everything for this franchise. The thing that I didn't like, which, like, people like, oh, he changed in the last few years and he was a diva throughout. Like, dude, this guy gave you 6 Super Bowls. He went to 9 of them. Like, allow him a chance at the end. And he had a different, like, he's got a business now that it took a decade to get going. And he's all about the pliability and TB12 and, like, don't forget that because of what has gone on the last few months. And I want everybody, all the other Patriot fans out there, to think, how would you feel? How would you feel? Put yourself in Tom Brady's shoes for 1 second.
I'd like to.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Seems like a lot of good comes with those shoes.
Yeah, there's probably no one you would rather be over the course of this century than Tom Brady, literally. How would you feel after you left literally your blood, sweat, tears, and a lot of money on the table? Yeah, he also, I know what you're going to say, because you always come back at me with this. Well, Tom Brady also profited. Yes, he did. He did.
Seemed like he did okay for himself.
Well, he certainly did. How would you feel if you were Brady and you were constantly underpaid, underappreciated, and in his viewpoint, perhaps maybe even a little disrespected, and you feel like, hey, I want to go to a place where I'm appreciated, where I'm respected, and now you go to the antithesis, the exact polar opposite of what is Bill Belichick, which is Bruce Arians. If you put yourself in Tom Brady's shoes for just
for 1 second, suspend disbelief and think about you being Tom Brady. You probably would have made the same decision he did. You probably would have. Maybe you wouldn't have gone to Tampa, but you would have gone somewhere.
And in 5 years, I might also have regretted said decision.
That's right.
Right? Just you like could. He may.
He might.
He might.
He might. We
don't know how this is going to play out. And I would also probably in 5 years look at what I did to maybe put the flick the dominoes over so they started to bing, 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 bing down the road. Everybody made decisions here. Everybody played a role. I firmly believe that. The three particulars.
Well, you
Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, all did things that you could question, look at differently, and led to where we are today with everybody picking Tom Brady as Bucko Bruce or whatever the hell as their logo, their avatar.
Well, here's my thing is that where you look at, Robert Kraft had already sort of planned his stock answer, sort of like he called Stephen A. Smith while Tom wanted to leave, and then he gave that quote to Mike Giardi. Well, you know when you love a woman and then, you can't be together because it's the mother or the father-in-law. He basically threw Bill under the bus saying Bill's the meddling mother and father-in-law. But as I brought, and you both said this, when you, Robert, you're the only person, you and Jonathan, have the ability to supersede and veto Bill Belichick. When you decided to give Bill the ultimate power, you made your decision, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You made a decision by allowing him to make a decision.
That's very simple. And that's it. At the end of the day, lower right front corner, you sign the front. Bill still signs the back the last time I checked.
Yep.
Okay? So at the end of the day, don't pin this on Bill. Don't pin this on Tom. You also played a part. Like you said, everybody played a role in why Tom Brady is a Buccaneer. The amazing thing is that, like, you and I have noticed, too, like, talk about Twitter after. I'm like, yeah, I got it, too, that people now, it's Tom versus team.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tom versus team. And I'm, I got some free T-shirts from Brian Glazer back in the day that I never wore that maybe I'll crack open now and, wear some of those now because Brady's there.
Wonder if we'll be tracking ratings in the Boston market.
Well, let me tell you.
Say they're 1-6 and the Patriots stink and Tom Brady is 6-1 and putting up, 30 touchdowns in 7 games.
Hey, Boston 25, Butch Stearns, Tom Lydon, and all the fine folks over there. Chad Amaral, who I know is the executive producer over there. You are now the official home of the Tom Brady Buccaneers.
Bucks fifth quarter when we go to Tom Brady's press conference.
Yeah, you are now the official home of the Tampa Bay Tom Brady Buccaneers. Like, you should show every one of their guys. Matter of fact, when they have America's Game of the Week, if it's not the Bucks, you should say, no, Fox, we're not taking Troy and Joe Buck doing Cowboy Seahawks. We're taking the Bucks versus the Panthers or something like that. You should show every single game. Because, there's two teams here in New England now.
Oh, no question. Now, the only other thing I wonder is the fraudulency of that. Now, what if Brady's 1-6? Will all you people be you people? And I mean you people.
Yeah,
I'm pointing across the
desk
at you.
That's fine.
Will you be changing your avatar back to something a little more mass-hole-ish, a little more true to your roots?
Bill, I never lost any faith, Bill. I knew Stidham and you would win all the time. I'm with you, Bill. Well, I do have, speaking of, what's the thing that you call the wallpaper? My wallpaper is the Massachusetts plate that says Masshole, so I still have that. I just got the Brady, Bucko, Bruce one.
Oh, I know. You'll be back. All these frauds will be back at some point.
Hey, let me tell you something. They ain't going to be 1-6.
You think so? You never know.
No.
What if his elbow's hurt and he's not even playing in week 2?
No. 617-779-7937. Rick in Plymouth. What's up, Rick?
How you doing? You guys are asking if it's Belichick or Brady?
Yeah.
I am all about the team. It has always been about the team. I am Bill all the way.
Wow.
Listen, I'll tell you this. Tom Brady was created, okay? Tom Brady wasn't, but there's no way a 6th-round draft pick, 199th overall, is automatically the GOAT. I'm sorry. He was created. And who created him? Bill Belichick, Drew Bledsoe, Charlie Weiss, and a few other people that might come in here. Let me tell you something about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is overrated.
Tom Brady
is overrated.
Why so? Yeah.
He is a mediocre quarterback because I'm putting the greatest system known to man. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Hey, Rick, can I tell you something right now? You sound like the dumbest caller that we've had in EI in a year.
Thank you. He went 11-5 with Matt Castle. He went 3-1 with Brady
Jesus.
On the suspension.
Oh, God. Hey, Rick.
Bill Belichick is the greatest coach ever.
Okay, I'm not saying he's not. Rick, he has a losing record without Tom Brady all time in his career.
He has a winning record without Tom Brady with the Patriots.
No, he doesn't. He's 18-19. Wrong there, too.
Wait a minute. No.
No.
He went 11-5 and 3-1. Where's the rest of
him? Okay, he also went 5-11 without him. And he went 0-2. He went 5-11 in 2000. Check your facts, Rick. Call us back and check your facts.
And I would also urge Rick, and I actually watched this recently because in this coronavirus world, my son is big on YouTube. And he went back and watched this whole Tom Brady package somebody put together from Michigan. You forget how damn good he was at Michigan. And
but
Lloyd
it wasn't
Carr,
for long, though.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was multiple years.
No, but I mean, he had to fight out. Like, he had to go against.
Because Drew Henson was this hot prospect who could play baseball, and Lloyd Carr himself called it the dumbest coaching decision in the history of football when he's celebrating an Orange Bowl with Tom Brady, and he said, that guy is the best leader at quarterback in the United States of America, and he had to overcome the dumbest coaching decision. Lloyd Carr said
it. Lloyd Carr,
and you watch some of those damn throws, comebacks, way he was winning games. He's throwing these post corners to guys in the end zone where he's leading them. Tom, you know the biggest, like, myth is that Tom Brady wasn't good and had this whole struggle to go. He went to the University of Michigan where he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country at the University of Michigan. I don't know why people didn't think more of him, but the reality is the foundation for what he proved to be in the NFL was obvious. It was there at Michigan, the leadership. You had all these players talking about the Drew Henson, Tom Brady. You know, I don't know what Lloyd was doing. It was obvious to any of us that practiced every day who the best quarterback was for this football team. It was Tom Brady, and it wasn't even close. He's throwing for 400 yards in big games. Comeback against Alabama. Like, he's making plays in the biggest games
I remember
in college football against the best schools.
That was two future MVPs meeting in that Orange Bowl game because he beat Sean Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama, he was the coach.
So to say, like, that he was created in some factory in Foxborough?
Yeah, I know.
No.
I know.
He was created
in
at Serra, whatever.
San Mateo, California.
And then at Michigan, he got better.
Yeah.
And then when he arrived with Belichick, he took it to a new level.
Hey, listen, what was it, Rick in Plymouth? Rick, listen, all due respect that, you know, you obviously you're a very passionate sports fan. We love that. We love to call that. For you to call in here and saying Tom Brady is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history and Tom Brady was only a product of Bill Belichick. And then, I mean, Rick, there comes what, and I'll be with you. After the first even three Super Bowls, I still probably wasn't convinced. And then once, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl for a decade after 04, when you saw the statistical seat and that 07 team, the 06 team that he literally took on his back in the first half against the Colts with a 21-6 lead going into halftime with Doug Gabriel, a fat Corey Dillon, Chad Jackson, and all like an over the hill Troy Brown. You got to be like, and I'm like, this guy is literally doing chicken salad with chicken crap. I got it. And
just making sure we're ready.
And of course, the defense couldn't stop and they couldn't make any plays. Right. And Jabbar Gaffney and Rashay Caldwell. And I'm like, this guy. And then in 07, it was like, well, shut the front door. 07 was just like, this guy.
That's when he became Manning. That's when he said, okay, now I can put up the stats with Peyton Manning.
Well, 07 to me was Jordan. Was like, have that, like, I think I'm looking at now, like to me, when people could talk about all these different plays of Tom Brady's great career, and you can pinpoint this at the other. Oh, by the way, Rick in Plymouth, let's not also forget the fact that in five of the Patriots' six Super Bowl wins, five of them, the game was tied or they were trailing in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady led them to not one, not two, not three, not four, but five Super Bowl winning drives in the fourth quarter. In overtime, which was Atlanta. So
I think we've already spent more time than we need to say Tom Brady's not a mediocre quarterback.
Well, I just, like, when, can you believe that? Like, someone in New England.
I actually appreciate the passion.
I know.
Because he's all in on Bill, right? He thinks Bill's the greatest coach ever.
But that's
Bill's
fine.
This.
That's
and,
fine.
And I like that. And it's political. It's just like a Republican cannot see one aspect of truth in a Democrat's statements, and a Democrat cannot see one aspect of truth in a Republican's statements, right? That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Polar opposites. And now you're seeing the lines continue to divide between Brady and Belichick. Because those were there for years. But when they're working together, I don't think you had the passion over the years of who's more important, who's the bigger piece of the success. Now that you tear them apart, now it's time to find out. And now it's time for both sides to present their arguments. And they're presenting them to us. I appreciate
Tom versus team. 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
Now it's time for trending. We're going to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Amen. Falling asleep at the wheel there, huh? Andy? Like what's going
okay,
on?
I'm always ready to fill a little dead air.
Yeah.
Voice guy. Well,
trending now on WEEI.
We need the music, though.
Well, look, if we're keeping score here, you guys are doing one thing, and I'm doing like 50,000.
Oh, hey, we get the Mickey Loomis of radio producers over here.
Just so you know, we're called the talent.
Yeah. All right. In a memo this week, Roger Goodell told NFL teams that the league plans to carry out the draft is scheduled at the end of the month. He also warned teams talking about the decision could result in punishment from the league office. Again, Roger, you can say whatever you want. In the year 2020, there's not many decisions Roger Goodell has made that I don't love. He's doing everything right now. Right now. Okay. That could change.
And I just like that he's being sort of strong. He came and said, you know, STFU.
Yep.
Right?
That's
this
right.
I'm the boss, and this is what we're going to do. You don't like it? That's on you. Keep your mouth shut.
Yep. WrestleMania is still scheduled for a two-night event next weekend. The show's going to broadcast from the WWE's Performance Center in Orlando. Gronk is the host. Hopefully, it'll be better. It can't be any worse than his promo last week. Roman Reigns still recovering from his battle with leukemia announced. He would sit out the event due to potential risks associated with the COVID-19 outbreak. So no Roman Reigns, Goldberg there. And Woj is reporting NBA owners and players are pushing for the season to be resumed and are floating ideas such as playing games at one neutral site, such as the NBA Summer League does in Vegas and would actually happen in Vegas too, which I believe, I mean, you've got hockey there. You now have the Raiders there, the NFL. We know the NBA is next. And who's always last to the punch? Baseball.
Yes.
Right? They're always last to the punch, which is just what they are in this whole coronavirus crisis. They were the last ones to the punch. Mark and Hart, don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Tom Brady will play in a Super Bowl again, and Bill Belichick will not coach in one. That is my unacknowledgedly hot-takey belief that I actually believe to be true, and I will defend it.
Interesting. Mike Greenberg going out. Usually he's just a facilitator.
Yes.
A train conductor.
Yes.
But he decides to say.
Now, I will say for the time is the question there. How long is Bill Belichick invested in being the Patriots head coach? How long is he doing this for? Brady's only, I mean, best case scenario, Brady, 3 years. So he's going to go to a Super Bowl once in the next 3 years. Belichick, if he really wanted to, does he have 10 years left?
If he wants, but he also mentioned the Marv Levy thing.
Yeah, but he
too.
Regrets that. It's a different time. We've all moved on. Age is just a number. Well, it's a different time.
Here's my thing, though, on Bill Belichick. I know he wants to win the worst way. But you know what I think his biggest goal is right now? 348.
Oh, no question.
348.
No question.
Because he knows no coach will ever catch him. He already knows that. I'm solidified. He wants to get to 348.
I mean, I'll be like Marv Levy and coaching when I'm in my 70s. And don't worry about that.
That's
what do you think of him being nominated for an Emmy?
Who?
Bill Belichick.
Four?
This is the point in the show where Mark finds out on air a topic.
Good job, Andy.
for the NFL top 100 players.
I did see.
As a color analyst. Now, this is where Mark pretends he knew what I was talking about.
No, I did. But I thought you were referring to something else. I thought you meant something else.
Emmys, they're TV. That's the only time he's really on TV. So.
I thought you... good for him. Listen, that was, it was a good show.
It was fine.
It was okay.
I actually thought that Chris Collinsworth did a really good job on that show.
And you know what? From somebody who's been a vocal critic of Collinsworth on broadcast, I will agree with you.
And I thought
he was really good.
Carried it, did what he needed to do to keep the story. Now, Bill had great stories. He did some great stuff with the old black and white, and he gets up there and the cowboy clicker, and he's rewinding these guys we've never seen of, and you know these running backs that are bigger than everybody and all that. But I thought Collinsworth every bit deserved an Emmy nomination for that.
Hey, there was an article on Boston.com and the Globe yesterday, I believe. I forgot the gentleman's name who wrote it, but anyway, it was about sports talk radio locally here in Boston and how...
Why do you assume it was a gentleman?
Oh, because I remember his name.
Oh.
His last name was D'Onofrio, but it was a guy. And
could have been a woman.
No, it wasn't.
I'm more open-minded.
No, but it was a guy. And he... I just forgot his first name. I don't know if it was Alex or whatever.
Let's go Chuck.
But he talked about how, like, at this time, with everything going on in the world that we have right now, how great, like, to have sports talk radio. And we talked about it at the beginning of the show. What? You got his name.
Dave D'Onofrio.
Dave. I was close.
Oh, Dave. Hey, yeah. Dave.
Hey, so, but he also, he mentioned EI in there and you know, our
did
competition.
He mention me?
No, he did not.
Damn it.
They mentioned Glenn.
Glenn. He's been here 40 years. Yep. Let's talk about Glenn. He needs more publicity. Glenn.
But he's right, though. And what he said in the article was basically simple as this, is that, you know, like you see, like with TV now, they're showing a lot of, you know, old games and stuff, which is great and all that stuff.
WrestleMania 32 on Sunday.
Tomorrow night. There's never a bigger connection symbiotically whatsoever than you have in sports talk radio. That's why I believe that, like, you know, I've done TV, you've done TV, but like when you talk to the fans, we're going live to someone. We don't know what they're going to say, you know, and we react organically because we have no idea what they're going to say and where it's going to go. At a time like this, I think sports talk radio is extremely important, I think, because we're all going through the same thing. This sucks. I mean, let's be real. It's dangerous, and we, unfortunately, it's deadly. Like, listen, I don't, you know, despite what Sean Hannity or Trish Reagan, who no longer has a job because of what she said, Sean Hannity can get away with certain things that Trish Reagan cannot. This thing is real, okay? And I'm scared. I don't know about you. I'm scared like hell about this thing. Not only for me, for my family, for my friends, like colleagues, everybody. I don't want, you know, and I hope everybody out there and, you know, just safe and everything. But I think at least now you have this forum where in TV you don't have that connection. Yet people watch you and all that stuff, but like it's different. We can talk to the audience. And that's why I think sports radio to me will always supersede TV.
Right, because instead of being talked at, you're talking with.
That's right. Or two.
It's a back and forth, right?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
a conversation.
Yep.
And as the thing I love about this, and I think sometimes people don't understand how I can get along with, so, you know, the guy from Bridgewater, oh, hot, why are you such a donkey? Because it's sports talk radio.
Yeah.
We both love sports. So
that's
we
right.
inherently have
that's right.
something in common. Now, we may have two very different views on Brady Belichick, whatever the topic is. But I know we share a similar viewpoint on sports matter. They're a passion in our lives. We have some passion for that discussion. That's why you can call me a donkey, and I'll call you a donkey. And then you know what? Next week, we might be I've got so many trolls on Twitter that love to give you just, yo, you're a moron. And then this guy tweets me last week. He's like, since we're newly found friends, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're friends now? Because you've been ripping me for 8 months on Twitter. He's like, yeah, we kind of agree on the Brady thing, so I think we're kind of pals now on Twitter. A, we're not really pals one way. We weren't really enemies either. We're sports fans. We're having BS sessions about sports and arguments. And that's the beauty of sports, and it's a little bit of a distraction right now.
And well, so here's another thing, too. This is why I sort of feel with sports talk radio, no disrespect to the people who do TV, because like the people who do SportsCenter and all that, and like I even think the people who do NBC Sports Boston, because they're essentially doing sports radio on TV, because
yes.
they're doing a lot of opinion stuff. So I'm into that. I think what they do a fine job. I think that, you know, like what we do, and I've always said this, the toughest thing to do in broadcasting is be able to get on the air. And I used to hate this because I used to do a TV show that was very Ron Burgundy, 1980 sports TV, George Michael sports machine type thing where, I get a producer like, hey, Mark, you're missing C-13 or B-4. I'm like, I could go out on that set for the next 30 minutes without a commercial and just talk.
Right.
You don't like, and I'm like, and it was just sort of like for me, like let's just do opinion. Like, why, you know, everything's like, well, you know, tonight the Cleveland Indians, and it's like, oh my God, that's why that doesn't resonate anymore.
But
it doesn't.
There's a place for all of it.
SportsCenter.
No, but even all of them, you know, it's like saying, you know, Peyton Manning was different than Patrick Mahomes or Randall Cunningham, right? There's different ways to get to the end zone, and there is a unifying factor of sports is at the center of it all. But I need the information,
but
too.
I think you've also seen the fact that ESPN, when they struck gold with PTI, then came Around the Horn, then came Cold Pizza, Now's First Take.
Sure.
And they're opinion-based. So to me, it's like, this is what, you know, it's the toughest thing
but
to do.
But it's two things. Like, I need to watch the highlights, watch the controversial call, making a decision in my own head, and then I want to interact with a discussion, whether it's sports talk radio or just watching it on TV. I want to interact with the discussion about that play. Like, I need the background.
You do.
I don't want to just go and have Stephen A. Smith give me my opinion on an event I haven't yet seen or an occurrence, whatever, right? I need the information first.
Sure.
I want to see the play. Whose fault was it? Was it Wes Welker or was it Tom Brady? Was it a bad throw or does he have to catch that ball, right? I watch it. And now I want to get involved with the conversation with my opinion.
No, that's the good sports TV that I like, but like to do the Ron Burgundy highlights, like SportsCenter is amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. What those guys do, Scott Van Pelt is a freaking worldly talent, genius. What he does, and they have to.
I actually think the best one is your former coworker, Randy Scott. Is that his name?
Really?
With the woman? I think they have.
L?
No. No, the dirty blonde.
Yeah, Briscoe. Is her last name Briscoe? Nicole Briscoe or something like that?
I think they have the best on-screen rapport.
Yeah, they do.
And have fun while delivering some opinions, some highlight. I really love when they do SportsCenter.
No, SportsCenter is another. That is like they basically perfected the world of sports TV.
And have reinvented it over the years as they've needed to and tweaked it. But yes, they're Belichick Brady.
But there's no better connection than you have doing sports radio. All right, so we just
Why are you babbling about we're so good and what we do? We're so important. Why don't you talk to the damn five people that want to talk to us?
I know. I'm sorry about that. We're getting all
you
calls next.
Shut up. It's not a solo show. It's not 11 o'clock at night.
I'm getting prepared. No, tomorrow morning it will be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Don't go anywhere. Mark and Hart. We'll get to all your calls. Promise next.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, Mark and Hart. Closing in on hour number three. 1 hour to go. 617-779-7937. The one thing I got to call you on, you were talking about how great Brent, and that's why, I remember Brady at Michigan, and yeah, they ended up winning, but he didn't have a great career there. I mean, he threw 30 touchdowns at 17 interceptions, so he wasn't spectacular.
Right.
But, he was a six-round pick, so you didn't...
Sure.
So you're like, he was so great. Like, no, the NFL, 32 teams didn't think he was great.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
Nobody did.
Right, okay.
And nobody called. If you listen to Lloyd Carr, I think was one of certain one NFL team even called to get his opinion.
That's right.
On him.
Right. Okay.
But he was very,
oh, no.
The comebacks, the
pedigree.
Action. Yeah. Like, I could see why he would fall through the cracks personally. I could see me at the time. I don't remember what I thought at the time. But I could see me at the time watching him and being like, his arm's not that strong. I mean, that's a nice throw, but his arm's not that strong. That's a good comeback.
Why are you coming back? I certainly didn't.
Michigan. It's the Orange Bowl. It's Alabama. Yeah. Like, this is the heights of college football.
But once he dropped to the sixth round, I guess I didn't have, like most people, I didn't have much stock in him.
No.
I didn't think he'd be great.
He wasn't helped by he couldn't run at all. A lick. And, you know, the famous picture of him in the gray shorts with his, whatever you want to call that, dad bod or whatever.
Yeah. He's in better shape now than he was when he was in his 20s.
Right.
He still is, which is amazing.
And he shaved, what does he claim? He shaved like 2/10, 3/10 off his 40 time from his 40 time back then that he's that much faster now.
That's awesome.
That's not supposed to happen.
No.
Just tells you how slow you were then.
Yeah. Well, he's sustained. Dave in Plymouth, man. What's up, Dave? Thanks for holding.
Hey guys, great show. A couple things. One, I'm glad you guys buzzered the last caller. I'm not sure what football that guy's been watching for the last 20 years.
Yeah, Dave, if you run into Rick in Plymouth, because you're in Plymouth, you run into him, like, feel free to, like, I mean, have a sit down. Well,
yell at him from 6 feet away.
6 feet away. Be like, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Exactly. And I don't need to elaborate on to that. The other reason why I wanted to call, though, is, you know, a lot of people are bashing Brady because he went for Tampa or left for Tampa. Number one, he really had the Kraft or Belichick given him any reasonable offer, he would have stayed. He was forced out of town. Let's call it for what it is.
Sure.
Well, and I don't know how true that is. I think he broke last summer. Tom Brady broke last summer and was all done. And because I do think there were offers comparable to what he got that came after that, but he had already broken. He was already sort of, nope, I'm done here.
Yeah.
He had broken because he had asked for an extension for a year, you know, for a long time, and they just played around with him, and they never gave him that extension that he was seeking.
Well, I think, where I don't know that that's true. I think they gave it to him after they made him sort of jump through hoops and wait and a year plus and negotiate and this and that and all that. I think in the end, he did get an offer that was comparable to what he got in Tampa, but it was too little too late.
Too little too late, and supposedly that second year wasn't guaranteed.
Right.
I just find that, you know, Belichick and Kraft are, you know, completely disingenuous. You know, Kraft, the whole thing about, oh, if he wanted to stay, we would have worked out a deal. You know, that's easy to say that after the fact.
Sure.
And Kraft certainly could have stepped in long before. And Belichick, you know, I find it ironic the day that Brady tweeted, hey, I'm going to Tampa, Belichick then comes out and says, oh, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, he never showed him that type of love, though, in the previous years. You know, he would have effused praise on, you know, whether it be Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers. But you never heard him talk about Brady in those ways.
Well, you did. I mean, he very often praised Tom for how good he was and, quote, there's no other quarterback I'd rather have.
He did say that all day. But, Dave, I see what you're saying. It was the respect and appreciation thing. Wasn't there. Giselle mentioned it in Tom versus Time a couple years ago. Thanks for the call. It just wasn't there. That's all. That's it. John's up next in Franklin. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, guys, or good afternoon.
What's up?
Pretty funny, your previous segment, talking about how important sports radio is, and I couldn't agree more. So, you know, thanks for being a lifeline for us. But then you went ahead and spoke right through the entire segment.
Yeah, so, that's typical Mark. We got lines locked and loaded. Jimmy, Michael, Danny, John, everybody wants to talk, and Mark is just babbling on.
Sorry, John. Patience is a virtue, and you have that. Thank you.
That's your reason for the call. Happy 328 day to all yes. New England Patriot fans.
Yes, you we've know? Been so, late to that party.
Yeah, just a reminder of what I feel Patriots are going to really be impacted the most, and I think it's the margin of error that Tom Brady gave them, whether it's, you know, missing on a draft a couple of years in a row, whether it's signing or, you know, not a good free agent. The margin of error he gave the Patriots always allowed them to miss somewhere along the line.
Yep.
Take him out, you know, how many of those Super Bowls do we win? How many guys can come back time after time in a fourth quarter of a Super Bowl? And to me, that's going to be the biggest thing that, you know, wins or loses, you know, how the Patriots proceed here. It's, you know, finding that guy that can give them that margin of error.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I think, you know, Bill has always said before you can win a game, you have to not lose it. And I think Brady was great on both ends of that. He was great in the beginning part, not losing the game, not giving games away very often. Occasionally go to Miami or whatever. He'd lay a stinker. And then when the game was on the line, as you said, extend the game, give us a chance, we're in the game. Well, if you're in the game late, you got a chance with Brady, right? There was always those comebacks. You know, even the shell of themselves, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski against the Rams, that throw, that singular throw, it was not a great offensive day. Gronk was coming off a bad season. He was no longer Gronk. But Brady and Gronk connected when the season was on the line.
That was it.
And that's what he gave you. Now you have to find somebody else. We're spending all offseason ripping Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Because one throw. You make one throw, the 49ers spend this offseason as champions. You don't. Patrick Mahomes does. Patrick Mahomes enjoys the offseason of a champion and a future $200 million contract.
All right, so we're talking about Tom versus Team All World, which has been rendered basically inactive. Now that you're missing the most, that you really need that, you know, Hart brought up a good one, which I was looking ahead and just sort of, you know, forgot about. But yes, March Madness right now, that the Sweet 16, the regional final.
Yep.
Today should be taking place today in the first two regions and then tomorrow. But then obviously the NBA playoffs. Well, what are you missing about as well? Oh, I watched Tiger King. Did you watch Tiger King, Eamon? Did you watch them all?
Almost to the end. I think I'm three quarters of the way through.
Wow. That is some crazy stuff there.
But as someone who's familiar with Tampa, Florida and the area surrounding, are you surprised in the least?
Yeah, that woman... I believe she had her ex-husband killed.
That area outside Tampa is...
Oh, like, yeah.
You mean the home of Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll love him already.
Tom G and the family.
With all two of
down.
Their brain cells.
Yeah, he'll
moving
be living
down
near,
to Tampa.
Near Derek Jeter, I'm sure. He won't be living anywhere near that woman, hopefully. We'll get to all that final hour. Mark and Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.